Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's trending?
Yacht Day!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending. Just a few minutes ago, Jordan Schultz reporting Chiefs left tackle Josh Simmons has returned to the team facility after missing the past four games due to a personal slash family matter. They're on a bye week, as we know, which means Andy Reid normally would speak on a Monday. Right now, he does not until next week. So we don't know what this means in terms of his availability for Chiefs Broncos. Obviously, a great sign, no kidding, that he's back in the facility, back with the team, hopefully can get going again, but we don't know what his availability is and all that. We're going to have to wait till next week. Now, maybe Nate Taylor tomorrow when he joins us will have some more insight, but huge news, though, that Josh Simmons is back with the team.
Very important that they evaluate what kind of game shape he's in. Very serious question, and a great one that maybe we can ask Nate Taylor. I'm pretty sure it's against NFLPA rules for him to work with the coaching staff at all. I don't think he can voluntarily
at the facility, though.
Yeah, but I don't think he's allowed to work with the coaching staff during the bye week. I think they shut that down to prevent people from like being guilted in to working during a bye week. So very curious.
But he can still go in there and lift weights or get rehab if he needs. Yeah. If he needs to get treatment on a ankle or whatever, right?
Yes. But there's still I'd be curious. We'll talk to Nate Taylor about that tomorrow. Next up on What's Trending, Jalen Phillips. NFL news across the board. Jalen Phillips has been traded to the Philadelphia Eagles for a 2026 third-round pick. Only has 1 year left on his contract, I guess could be franchise-tagged. Owed about $3 million in prorated pay the rest of the way. Tucker Kraft, unfortunately, did tear his ACL and will be done for the season. And Jaden Daniels did dislocate his elbow in Sunday Night Football game last night, getting an MRI today to find out how much time he'll miss. He certainly is capable, and I think people are fearing gold. He'll lose the entire season.
Hmm. Yeah, devastating injury news out of the NFL yesterday. All right, on to college football. KU got a win on homecoming against Oklahoma State. They were huge, huge favorites. They backed it up. K-State at home lost to Texas Tech. Tech got their starting quarterback back and looked once again as dominant as they had earlier. Sets up a huge game this Saturday. Texas Tech, BYU, top 10 matchup. I think College Game Day is going to Lubbock, if I'm not mistaken. We'll talk more college football tomorrow in Drew's segment, but KU bounced back after losing a couple in a row.
We'll say Utah made a statement over the weekend.
Yes, they did.
They poured on Cincinnati, so that was interesting.
I think it is. I think game day is there. It's the first Big 12 game on ABC since 2023.
Jeez.
What?
That's because they become the SEC conference.
Well, at least that one you can get with the antenna because got the YouTube TV dispute going on with ABC, Disney, and all that.
Next up on What's Trending, the KC Current wrapped up their regular season with another win yesterday. 2-1 over the San Diego Wave. They'll play in the quarterfinals coming up on Sunday at CPKC Park. They finished the season 21-2-3. 21 points of second place. They destroyed the NWSL this season. Now it's all just about completing it. Fell short in the semifinals last year. They've been the best team in the NWSL by a mile.
Yep.
So the KC Current wrap up their season 21-2-3. A ridiculous, and they've been without their star player for a little while. So like that really speaks to just how good they've been.
They are the one seed. Quarterfinal action at CPKC Stadium is this Sunday at 11:30. They'll take on the 8 seed New York, New Jersey, Gotham. And if they were to win that, they would also host the semifinals. So hopefully they have a couple home games.
You'll be the semi if they get to the semi,
right? Yeah, I'm out of town this weekend. So, yeah, if anybody wants to buy my tickets for Sunday, just hit me up on Twitter.
Hell yeah, man, a quarterfinal match at CPKC.
But I will be back for the semis if, in fact, they make it there.
I felt so bad. My friends offered me front row seats to the Current game on Sunday because they couldn't go. I'm in the middle of the Chiefs game. I couldn't go.
Yeah, the good news is quarterfinal this Sunday, if you're in town, it's 11:30 during the Chiefs bye week, so that should work out nicely. All right, lastly, college basketball kicks off tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got tip-off already of a couple games. Drew's locked into, like, St. Bonaventure or something over there, I think.
Yeah, the Bonnies.
But KU takes on Doug Gottlieb in Green Bay tonight at Allen Fieldhouse to open up their season. MU on the road taking on Howard.
Ooh, the Bison.
Uh-huh.
K-State kicks off tomorrow.
Yes. I believe that is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, it is a Monday. Take advantage of $5.99 classic burgers over at 30 Hop, whether you're in Lee's Summit or just down the street from us in Merriam, the great Grand Station, beautiful new location there. $5.99 classic burgers. 30 Hop's your new go-to, an American bar and kitchen with bold flavors, local taps, expansive patios, and an unbeatable happy hour. Stop in for some lunch, stay for happy hour, 30hop.com. That's 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, big patio.
It's a great spot, obviously. And the weather's supposed to be really nice this week. Getting some true, solid fall weather. Halloween went off without a hitch.
Everything good?
Yeah, like last year at Halloween, that same neighborhood was, there was like a police chase through it. There was none of that, so that was good.
Huh?
And then this year, it was all pretty clean.
How was the golf cart life when you were sipping on your Yeti cup?
Yeah. Dude, we were out
on... Did you have your Patagonia quarter zip on as well?
No, not quite like that.
Yeah, you get some vineyard vines? Too?
Was dressed like Smokey the Bear for the entire trip.
Anybody else think it was Teletubby?
We were out on the... No. Okay. The very first person who saw me there said, "Oh, you're going to stop the forest fire?" Like immediately, first thing. So they were on it.
All right.
We were on the lake. We drove around for 2 hours in that golf cart getting canned.
Your kids were fine being out for 2 hours trick-or-treating?
Only towards the end were they... Dude, we used to do way longer as a kid. Are you kidding? Just as long as I let them eat candy along the way.
I'm probably flew
how much
to
of the what's the dad quick. Tax these days? Like, be honest, how much candy have you been grabbing?
I just pick a piece of candy out of there when I want it.
Yeah,
they understand. I don't even ask. I'm just like, I'm just going to take one of these. You guys got to. They're not going to eat through all that anyway.
Right.
The difference is that the problem I'm running into right now is Desmond will be like, "Hey, can I have a piece of candy?" I'll be like, "Yeah," but because of, I don't know, maybe there weren't enough kids. He got like 7 full size candy bars in that thing. So every time he says, "Can I have a piece of candy?" Kid's grabbing a full ass Kit Kat. Or a foot, you know, like he's getting a full candy bar to eat. I'm like, well, not exactly what I had in mind when I said you could have a piece of candy, but whatever. I've already accepted it.
We'll get to stock up, stock down here in about 8 minutes or so. But let's get back into the Chiefs' loss yesterday against Buffalo. We know the trade deadline is tomorrow at 3:00. This game yesterday should also serve as a barometer, though, for, you know, Brett Veach. If you're trying to see, all right, what we've talked about what they needed. But now you just had that happen against one of the top teams in the AFC. I understand seeding-wise they're not, but I think we'd all agree Josh Allen and the Bills are one of the top teams. In fact, they're the co-favorite with Kansas City to win the AFC. And you have to go get some defensive line help. And that's with me acknowledging that I don't know if there's anybody they can trade for that is going to just drastically fix everything. But you got to find something to incrementally improve this defensive line, at the very least, to give you some depth. To me, that's where you got some guys wearing down on the defensive line a little bit. I understand Jalen Phillips already got moved, but there's just no way you can avoid it and say status quo. Now, I wonder if, let's say we get through tomorrow and they don't make a trade on the defensive line. I would wonder, does that mean that they don't believe Steve Spagnuolo would actually play whoever they trade for? Because as much as I can sit here and
trade
say,
for Josh Uche last
go
year.
Trade for someone, if Spags is not going to play the guy anyway, well, then I don't want them giving up a fifth-round pick. You know what I'm saying? Like, there has to be coordination, and I'm sure there is, between the front office and the coaching staff. Hey, here's a player we think might help, Brett Veach is saying. What do you guys think? And I got to know that maybe not week one against the Broncos, or first game back against the Broncos, but at some point, is this a guy you think you can end up playing? Can help you out? Because, yeah, last year they did not play someone they traded for or signed. So I don't want them trading as much as we all want them to unless I know they're going to at least give that guy an opportunity to play some snaps.
What's weird is through six games last year, Josh Uche had pretty much the same number of tackles or whatever Chris Jones has right now. No sacks, though, for the team. If you want that gold, then you want them playing in bigger waters. Because if it's an end, although they did cut Amini Hughes' time down pretty significantly, he played only 35% of the snaps. I think some of that's because of Josh Allen's mobility. Admittedly, I think teams put them in packages or they put themselves in packages. And we can talk about Jaden Hicks tomorrow. He played practically none in a game in which they were getting beat up by more athletic offensive players against their linebackers, a position I think teams are intentionally putting them in. And I think it's
that's been happening for years
because of that. And you're right. But like, I think you kind of want him swimming in bigger waters. Do you got a name in mind? I think I'm officially on the Malik Collins train.
That feels like the name everybody's on, and I get it.
It's a perfect fit. I think it's just as much as about interior defensive line as it is guys on the edge. Chris Jones has not been taking over games like we're used to before Gold, which you had mentioned at the beginning of the show. His contract is affordable. He has been an effective player from the interior. He grades out everywhere. It doesn't matter if it's Pro Football Focus or a million other areas. He seems like exactly what the defense is missing and has missed even more because they had Omar Norman Locke go down. They got no interior presence.
Yeah, I think that name is one to watch. The other one would have been Jalen Phillips that people saw, although the Eagles gave him a third round pick. Now he's 26,
rental
so
player?
You and I were discussing maybe the Eagles think they can re-sign him. I would not have given up a third round pick, though.
If you knew you were getting him on a long-term deal, I would have.
Yeah, but I don't think the Chiefs are giving any... would not be giving him a long-term deal. Sure. So if not for a rental, another name to watch, Sebastian Joseph Day. He's a member of the Titans, interior defensive lineman. Yes, I understand the scheme is different there. They play a 3-4, and you wonder how Spags will utilize him. But if you're wanting someone that in the middle of the defense, you know, can fill in for some depth. I don't know if he's going to be a name that you're going to be going crazy over the rest of the season, but I'm talking more of depth pieces. Sebastian Joseph Day, I don't know, what does it take? A six-round pick, a conditional sixth or something to pull that kind of trade off? I don't think you're going to have to give up much for him.
No, I don't think so either.
Because they're not Jeffrey Simmons, like we can stop dreaming about that.
Honestly, it's his number that's too high.
That's what I mean.
And so like he just doesn't make sense from like a contract perspective. And I understand people are going to point out they don't have any money in the cap. They don't have a ton of money in cap space, but I also think that there's room inside of that number. Mm-hmm. Why else are people getting mentioned as potential trade candidates to the Bills? They have just as little money as the Chiefs do, but people understand that you can manipulate the cap in a way that allows you to do this. Look, he's got a lot of void years on his contract, which usually end up with the previous team, not the acquiring team. Don't usually take in these random cap hits to try to slowly space it out. He is only a $4 million cap hit this year, which means half of that for the rest of this season, gold, $2 million. Next year under contract for a little under six. Malik Collins is a perfect fit for what they need. The reason why I am bringing him up is for that reason. And so, like, yeah, I mean,
he seems like a reasonable trade candidate. And that's why I also mentioned Sebastian Joseph Day, just because he's got a final year of his deal. He's making 6.5 this year, but we're already halfway through the season, so it's not a huge number that you're taking on. It's a one-year thing, a half-a-season thing, I should say, just a depth piece in the interior. Not going to have to give up a ton of draft compensation. So those would be two names I think we'd keep an eye on before the deadline tomorrow afternoon.
I forgot to mention in what's trending, Bobby Wood Jr. and Mikel Garcia got two gold gloves.
They did. Congrats to Mikel on his first.
Oh, Mikel, what a season for him, by the way. Silver Slugger finalist, gold glove winner. He had his career year, certainly after coming off a year where people were questioning him as a full-time starter. Genuinely impressive what they were able to do. But yeah, are there other names? Let us know. 913-586-7965. Who else do you think possibly could do it? And of course, if you missed it earlier, Josh Simmons is back with the team. A lot going on with the Chiefs right now. Very, very, very busy.
A few people on Twitter were mentioning running back still. And I don't know, maybe I'm way off on this. You guys tell me. 913-586-7965. I don't really have much interest in delving in the running back waters anymore at this point.
It'd have to be for a significant upgrade, in my opinion.
Breece Hall is intriguing. If I know that I'm going to either tag him or re-sign him in the offseason, and he's the future starting running back beyond 2025, that's the only way I would be interested. I'm not interested in just trading for him and then just moving on, because next year they only have, what, Breshard Smith under contract at running back, I think.
I'm not interested in trading for Tony Pollard and then just being like, yeah, he'll get six carries again.
Well, you don't
need
Tony Pollard, because to me, that's...
But I don't want some low-level running back. I want a guy who's either taking the job, and we know it's his job.
I just feel like Tony Pollard, they could this is not saying they're the same player yet, okay? And I'm not saying Tony Pollard is an amazing football player, but what you described there with Pollard, like, Breshard Smith can be my receiving back out of the backfield and all that. They're not giving the ball to many of these running backs to begin with. You know, yesterday everybody's upset about the run game because it didn't work, of course, on the first and goal. I think that was more scheme and more the fact they weren't under center. I don't think Kareem Hunt played bad yesterday.
I honestly thought he looked really effective early, and they got panicked in the play calling in the middle of the game.
The only way I would want them trading for a back is if you told me what we don't know, but the Chiefs do, and that is there a chance Isaiah Pacheco is out longer than we think?
If he's
back in a week or two, more reason why I don't want to make a trade. Now, if you told me that internally they know that it's a month and a half or something, or a month, then maybe they do need to go look. Otherwise, I really think it's defensive line depth, and that is it, and it's probably not going to be a sexy trade.
I got to say, watching Clyde, and like, I like Clyde as a person, but like him getting any kind of carry in a
over Breshard Smith,
what are we doing?
I don't get
like,
it
like sometimes like the loyalty, like who are, what are you doing? He was a first-round pick. He didn't work out. I didn't know why you brought him back on the practice squad, but it didn't bother me because he was on the practice squad. You're giving him snaps? Come on. Because what? He just knows everything in football. It's one of my biggest complaints about the Chiefs, who are great at it. Everything doesn't have to be about them just like being good in a meeting room. Sometimes it can be about athleticism and talent.
Right.
That's all. Like, they value a quiz taker.
I think they've told us they don't trust.
Versus... an athlete sometimes, and I'm like, nah, let's just let the athlete do athletics.
I think their actions have continued to show us they don't trust Breshard Smith. And somebody said, well, they're done with Breshard Smith. They, like the texter, he only got three carries, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, so what did you see out of him?
Your opinion was pregame should not change on Smith. I mean, he had three carries. It's not enough to change anybody's mind, good or bad. I mean, that was it. Now, I will stay on the not that I need to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire get carries either. I'm with you. The first run had never had any chance of working out anyway. The right tackle, Shawn Taylor got destroyed. But I'm with you where it's like, why are you even going to just give the ball to Breshard Smith and give him an opportunity? But
or the guy you signed, whatever. Elijah Mitchell, whatever.
Let's get the stock up, stock down. I'll start stock up. This is pretty simple for me. We saw it last night, but it's more about what he's done all year. Mike McDonald, the head coach,
he's looking pretty good right
of
now.
The Seattle Seahawks. They are still the most undervalued team in football, period. AFC, NFC, Mike McDonald, second year head coach. Remember, he used to be with the Ravens organization. He is still only like 38, 39 years old, one of the younger head coaches in the league. He's got the defense playing at a high level. He's got his offense.
That's his most impressive. He's a defensive coordinator.
With his coordinator is Kubiak. That offense has Sam Darnold playing at an MVP level. Jackson Smith and Jigba is no doubt a top 10 wide receiver in football. Statistically, he's even better than that, but we'll just say he's a top 10 wide receiver in football. I don't even think still they have the whole run game working yet, and they're atop the NFC West, a very difficult division. They'd be the number 3 seed, I think, right now in the NFC. Legit coach of the year candidate.
Sure.
Stock up Mike McDonald.
I think almost inarguably stock up over him. My stock up is the Raiders offense now that Brock Bowers is in it. Are they going to be a good team? No. Is Geno Smith still any good? No. But my God, that offense couldn't so much as move the ball 6 inches for the previous month without Brock Bowers. He shows up and all of a sudden they're capable again. Turns out he might still be excellent. And the only reason why their offense had any success in the early part of the season or at any point during last year, what a difference having one star player can make for a team on occasion. They got Brock Bowers back and they still lost. They're still a bad team, and I'm not saying that they're not. But they looked significantly better with Brock Bowers, who had 3 touchdowns yesterday. He was all over the field. He fried Jacksonville's defense for a huge chunk of the game. hell of an effort from Brock Bowers, who's still, I don't know, obviously one of, if not the best tight end in football.
My stock up is Matt Stafford's MVP case.
Oh, yeah.
He leads the league in touchdowns. He has the least amount of picks other than Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts, but he has significantly more yards than them, obviously. The Rams are 6-2. It feels like Matt Stafford all of a sudden has entered the chat in regards to the MVP conversation. He has been on fire. I don't know if you guys saw, he had one of those no-look passes again.
Yeah.
Similar to what he had in that
Devontae
Super Bowl.
Adams on that in-cut.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Yeah, and it wasn't like it was just a five-yard pass. That sucker was like 15 yards down the field.
He does it. The only guy who does it more than him is – the only one who does it more than him is Patrick Mahomes and Matt Stafford. They love the no-look.
Yeah, I mean, Puka's hurt now again. But Matthew Stafford, if he stays healthy in that system, he's going to continue to play at a very, very high level. All right, stock down. It's a rookie year, and so I never want to say like somebody's career is just what it is already, nine games in. But stock down at least has to be trending down. Cam Ward, I'm sorry. Look, the Tennessee Titans are a mess. Right? They really are. Also now an interim head coach to add to it. But I have yet to see Cam Ward like give me a glimmer of like, oh, yeah, that's why. Hell, even in the game, guys, where they won against the Cardinals. What was the most notable play of the game? When he threw a pick and then it was fumbled and they recovered their own interception for a touchdown. It wasn't Cam Ward leading them back against Arizona a couple weeks ago. He threw an interception. He's statistically the worst quarterback through like the first eight games of his career in the last decade.
Yeah, he's
bad. He stinks. Stock down at minimum, though.
Everyone keeps like hanging on to the hat of like, remember when Josh Allen stunk his rookie year? Everyone will get better for every... For one Josh Allen, there's 19 Josh Rosens. And so they should probably keep that in mind. And look, I'm not writing off fully for Cam Ward, but he is bad, bad. My stock down, Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn, who went to an NFC title game last year, did not have a great first run as a head coach and got himself run out of town the first time through. And now he's going to have the entire Washington fan base hating him. He will never have their support, and that's going to make it really hard for him to keep the job. For a guy who went to the NFC title game with his team, leaving Jaden Daniels in there yesterday in a 30-point blowout in a season where they were already struggling to get his elbow dislocated, Dan Quinn's going to have a hard, maybe not never, but it's going to have a hard time winning over DC the rest of the time he's there. His stock is down, especially in that area. He's always been kind of like a mid-level coach for me. Not a bad one, not a great one, not a real difference maker, but not like not Adam Gase, not setting you up for failure, I guess, if that makes sense. But his stock is still down just for that decision alone.
Was he the head coach when Atlanta made the Super Bowl that year?
Yeah.
And then Shanahan was the OC and all that other
stuff. Yes.
And then they eventually got, and he got run out of town because it went south after that.
Yeah, yeah. My stock down is on my fandom or sports luck, at least in terms of rooting. Multiple things happened this weekend. Let's start off with the Bengals game. So
Saw that.
So the Bengals were down 41-27 after Evan McPherson missed the field goal. I turned it off. The NASCAR championship race was on. I was like, all right, I'm locked in. The Bengals lost.
And about a pick six got overturned. And we're down 48-27.
I saw that they took the lead, and I was like, hang on a second, I'm back in. Turn the game on. Two plays later, Colson Loveland, touchdown. I was like, boy, what is this?
Sick.
And my wife was like, don't turn it on. You're going to ruin it. Don't turn it on. So that happened. The night before, I see that the Blue Jays are up. I was out, away, saw that they were two outs away from the World Series. I was like, I'm turning the game on right. I have to turn it on right now. I got to see the Blue Jays win the World Series. Very first pitch of me turning the TV on.
Bad luck.
Home run for Rojas. I was like, are you kidding me? Dodgers win, of course. Can't stand the Dodgers. And it just feels like the rooting interest is just failing me right now.
How's Wisconsin basketball looking this year? They fire
up. Wisconsin basketball, thankfully. Wisconsin football had a bye week, so that's a win for the fandom, I would say.
They're coming off an ass kicking.
Hey, at this rate, the bye week was a win. Going back to the NASCAR race, I was rooting for Denny Hamlin to win the championship. He is 40 seconds away from winning his first title. Caution comes out. Pit crew takes four tires instead of two. He does not win the championship. My fandom this week, or rooting interest, had the worst luck of all time.
Is that like an Andy Reid not going for another one? Is that the difference between taking four tires instead of two? He wins the race if he takes two?
I think he wins the race if he takes two. In terms of what was happening yesterday and the car that he had, he would have won the championship.
Can you believe they chose four Cody instead of two?
Egregious!
Was absolutely ridiculous. You know, three races earlier, they took the two tires. Why are they taking the four tires now?
Unbelievable.
Coming out of caution? He could have finished the race.
I was stunned. Someone said I'm the American version of Drake. Drake at least has a championship with the Raptors. I don't have a rooting championship. The Pacers, all I know the Bengals.
Again, you want to go get that Hooters outfit cleaned up, ready to roll for him?
They have the worst. They have historic DVOA-wise, it is the second worst defense since 1968 right now.
That is a little stock up, stock down. Up next, let's get back into the news of the last half hour or so. Josh Simmons is reportedly back at the facility. What does that actually mean? Plus the random question of the day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer. First 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Here in about 8 minutes or so, we'll get to the random question of the day. But the news in the last half hour or more, 45 minutes or so, I guess, at this point in time, Josh Simmons, according to Jordan Schultz, is back at the team facility. As we all know, he's been away from the team with what they've been calling a personal/family matter. That's all we know. That's still all we know, by the way. But obviously a great sign that he is at the facility. It's a bye week, though, so we don't have any more information than that. Andy Reid doesn't speak till next week. Maybe there's some other information that starts to leak out. Does this mean he's playing in Denver? We have no idea. Does it mean he's playing in Indy? We have no idea. Certainly him being back and having a bye week to maybe get reacclimated is a good sign. Also, it comes on the heels of a week in which Jalen Moore, I would say, had his worst game as a left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep, he was bad.
So there's more interest even for those that were like, hey, take your time. They're good with this situation on offense. The offense clearly could use one Josh Simmons back. We still don't know the exact details around all that. What is your feeling just right now? Without, admittedly, we truly do not know. Do you believe there's a chance he plays in Denver now?
I think there's a chance because there's a 2-week lead up to when he's back in the facility. I pointed out to you, I do not think he's allowed to work with coaching staff at all during this week. Bye weeks are bye weeks for a reason, and they do not allow him to go sit down with Andy Heck and run drills for the next 6 weeks to get him back into football shape. So do I think there's a chance? Yes. Do I think that they probably knew this was roughly the timeline and it's coming at a good time where they can slowly work him into the bye week and do this? Yes. Do I think yesterday's performance makes it a stronger likelihood that he starts against the Denver Broncos? Also, yes. But I also don't think you want to just blindly say you're the starter again. I understand for all the obvious reasons. He was the starter. He's the better player. he should be expected to be the starter at some point this season. I think it's a tough spot to say you were gone for a month and it was under very quick and in the early going, unexplained reasons, even to the team, I think is how it worked in the early going. And you're just allowed to come in and have your job back. I think that there's a part of like football's always been about earning and earning your spot and having to earn your spot. And look, I think the players like the best players. They don't care where you come from and they don't care if you were gone before. They like the players who are great. And so they, I think, would accept it faster than the coaching staff, where they're going to have a conversation about if it's a good idea to make his first game back against Nick Benito versus waiting one more week to get him into the starting role, a full week of practice, a full week of like being back with the team, that kind of stuff. Because it's not going to be 2 full weeks of practice, even if he's back at the facility.
No, it's hard to answer the question only because we don't know what kind of shape he's in. We don't know while he's been away, was he with an athletic trainer? Was he just working out on the side? Did he have access to again, without knowing the circumstances, it's hard to answer. If he's still in shape and all that, and because of the bye week, then I think there's actually a really good chance that he could start against the Denver Broncos. But we just don't have enough of the information to like truly even to give an answer that's not a bit of a guess at this point for Josh Simmons and his availability.
Yeah, and I guess, so like text line, 100% chance he starts in Denver.
I don't think the Chiefs can even tell you 100% today.
I mean, today he just got back to the facility. They haven't even seen him run a sprint.
Yeah, someone also brings up the good point too. We don't know the severity of Juwan Taylor's injury. That plays a role here because if it's a spot where they got to move Jalen Moore to right tackle as well, all that is it. I don't think anybody can say 100%.
Truth is,
the way Jalen Moore played, we all want Josh Simmons back in there. Doesn't mean he's going to be. I think that's the difference. Someone says, you want more to get Pat killed out there. No, but the player has to also be ready to be in that moment. And we just don't know if he is.
The reason why I think he's coming back now, I think Ian Rappaport put it pretty well. The reason why I think he's coming back now is not a football reacclimation. I think this is a mental reacclimation to the team. I think the reason why he can't practice this week. There is no physical difference for coming back on this Monday or coming back 1 week from Monday. Mm-hmm. There's no physical difference for what he is allowed to do with coaching staff for them to see him or get a sense of where he is other than to speak a few words to them in a meeting room for a couple of minutes, right? It is a mental reacclimation. You're back. Here's your iPad. Study the plays. Let's talk about, spend some good time. Be back in Kansas City. Be back in the city where you're playing football. Get used to like maybe doing part of the rhythm a little bit. Not the practice, but like Cody, part of the mental reps and the rhythm before next Monday. And by the way, next Monday, Andy will come in and be like, I haven't seen Juwan Taylor yet. I don't know how his ankle is. And I haven't seen Josh Simmons yet, even though we know that won't be true. I don't know where he is either. Talk to me on Wednesday. I think we know typically how those things go.
The other element, and I certainly hope this is not the case, but the other element, and I think it's very fair to question because we don't have the info, is also, I want to make sure that he's at the facility next Monday.
Yeah.
That's the reality of the current situation
that will ever keep you away from the team again.
How bizarre everything has been over the last month. At minimum, you can say it's none of our business, but you would have to admit, very bizarre, not a normal situation for an NFL player one way or the other. And so as great as it is, he's back at the facility. I want to make sure he's at the facility still a week from now and the week after that.
This is the part where I think people don't like having the conversation because, again, I don't require to know exactly what he was going through or anything like that. But yeah, I think a fair question for Simmons when he eventually speaks to the media.
By the way, please do not send us the screenshot of the fake Facebook AI story for him. Please. Thank you.
Whenever he speaks to the media, and players are required to do so after games in which they played and all this other stuff, at some point he'll probably talk. I think a very fair question he will have to answer is this something you expect? Is this a thing that could recur that would cause you to be away from the team for long stretches of time again? Or is this it? Now it's football. And just as long as you're healthy, you'll be with the football team. Because that's a real question I would have if I were the Chiefs.
He may not be able to answer that, though, either.
He might not, because like it might have been a personal situation that he hopes doesn't come back up, but maybe he does. But like, is this current personal matter with you or your family resolved? Is it still in the middle of resolution in the sense that it's done for the season, you're back with the team, you're planning to be back? And it doesn't have to be like it's resolved, as in your portion of the support or action in this is resolved and now you're back with the team for the rest of the year is a more than fair question. Because he comes back for a month and then has to be gone for a month again. Well, then, you know, that's a whole different problem. I'm assuming he would not come back to the team unless he was sure he was coming back for the rest of the year. That's my assumption about his situation and what I think Chiefs would tell him to do.
Right, and again, this without knowing for sure, but that might be the plan, but nobody expected him to also be away for a month either. So you're at a point where now, like, it feels to me like it's a week-by-week thing at this
point. In a way, and at least in the short term.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think that's more than fair, where you've got to be like, hey, let's stack some days back together, kind of like in the back old training camp days, and figure out kind of where things are and where you belong amongst your peers. Because, yeah, it's one of the more unique situations I can remember in covering the Chiefs, because a player just being gone, like, you know, this is like not even quite the same as like the Rodman thing, right? For in Vegas, where he just like was gone for practice for a couple of days. I don't know. It's just like he was gone and now is like he the starter. And look, I'll be honest. It'd be a pretty good game to have Josh Simmons back playing at the level he was playing at before he was gone. If he's the same player playing at the same level, I would say the Denver Broncos defensive line gold is a pretty damn important game to have Simmons back and rolling. So whether or not they actually get that, I don't know.
If you're just joining us for the first time today on a Monday, reports from Jordan Schultz that Josh Simmons is back at the Chiefs team facility. All right, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care, KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. Two-part question for you today regarding college basketball and its return today. Obviously, a bunch of teams in action. Darren Peterson will go for Kansas tonight against Doug Gottlieb's Green Bay squad. Uh-huh. Missouri in action against Howard. K-State kicks off their season tomorrow. So two questions. One, there's games happening right now. There's a huge slate of college basketball. There's like 50 games, 60, 70 games, whatever today in college basketball. So the first question I have is, when do you start caring about college basketball? Not just you. I want everybody's answer. 913-586-7965. When do you dial in? When do you lock into college basketball? When does it mean something to watch to you? Second, in the early game, I saw a clip of Woj getting tossed from the St. Bonaventure game.
Yeah, or did he just get teed up?
Well, I thought he got tossed.
It seems like there's mixed reporting in this. Somebody reported he was tossed. The other person... there's another person who said Woj is still behind the bench, but he's not talking to the officials anymore. Okay.
Remember, Woj, the former ESPN reporter, is now the GM of the Bonnies.
In fairness,
it's a mixed bag.
It doesn't change my answer. My question is, how often have you ever seen someone tossed out of a game for arguing with a ref, or have you yourself been tossed out of a game for arguing with a ref at any level? Right. I have tossed somebody out as an umpire once.
Yeah.
I tossed a guy because he wouldn't shut up, and we made him go to his car.
So part one...
I was like 14, too. That must have been so embarrassing for him.
So part one of your question, as far as locked in, starting to really live and die by a basketball game, not until mid-January or later. Conference play, so I guess early January, I should say. That's where I'm at. Now, will I watch Friday when Kansas takes on North Carolina? Yeah, of course. And Darren Peterson's going to be a big reason why people should be watching. Potential number one overall pick in the draft next year. But as far as really locked in, no, it's football season still for me. So it'll be early January before I'm like when someone's texting me like and wanting to have a deep conversation about college basketball in November. I don't have any interest in doing that.
No, that's
that's just me personally.
No, like that's why I'm asking. Yeah. I think conference play is a really common answer over on the text line. 816, I dial in, come Big 12 conference play. End of March was somebody's answer.
But honestly, what happens is they play sometimes these marquee opponents the first week or so, and then they play a bunch of crappy non-cons. So KU will play North Carolina, and then now their schedule's tough, but typically you'll have that game, and then you don't play anybody for a month. Anybody as in name brands. So I don't know.
Kansas play some big games. I mean, they play North Carolina this weekend.
And then they got Duke, Notre Dame, Syracuse, UConn, Missouri.
T-Mobile for the Missouri game.
You going to go?
I'm thinking about tickets were kind of crazy price, but I was looking.
They might come
To answer your other question, have I ever been kicked out of a sporting event?
Or seen somebody kicked out of a sporting event for arguing with the refs? Specifically for arguing with the refs.
Yeah. I've never been kicked out. No.
Somebody said, I politely disagree with the call. Ref tossed him immediately in a conference basketball game that he saw. I will say, I think that maybe like a home field there in the Johnson County side, they might have it right where they put you up in like, you're in the crow's nest. they get you off the court so that, like, you'd have to yell at a ref.
Oh, out in Wyandotte? Yeah.
Or Wyandotte.
Yeah, out by the Legends.
You'd have to yell at a ref to get their attention. You're not sitting on top of them.
That facility is insane. I mean, FU's had some basketball tournaments there. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, the parents all have to sit up top, and it's great. It's a great setup.
I saw a kid almost get kicked out of a youth soccer game. It didn't happen. It was six-year-old girls soccer, and this guy was losing his mind on the call. I'm like, sir.
That's embarrassing. They
are six. Jeez. What do you think? There's not Messi going for a hat trick. Relax a little, dude. Like, you gotta find a way to be chill. But that was that guy that I tossed out of the game. Like, the one guy I tossed out of the game, he was losing his mind because I blew a call, in fairness, at first base. I called a guy out, and he was definitely safe. But I told him, I'm not gonna change the call, man. I'll just tell you. Like, I called, so it is what it is. But then he kept losing his mind as the game went on. I said, all right, you gotta go sit in your car. That was the rule at the facility. Like, get out of here. You're gone. I mean, and that's embarrassing. You don't want to toss, like, a full-grown adult when you're a teenager out of a game because you're ordering balls and strikes. For what? For what? They were 12. You're a single-A kid because I thought sir, they're paying me $65 to do this. You think I'm going to get every call right? The umpires in major league games can't get it right. Honestly, I wish parents shouldn't be allowed to attend youth sporting events. We should all have to watch it from a TV in the hallway or something. We can't be trusted, man. Are any of your siblings yell at the... I say nothing when I'm watching my kids use sport, other than, you're doing great.
Yeah.
I don't ever say anything about the refereeing or the coaching or any of that stuff. I've got no commentary in that regard.
Yeah, I've been at some youth sporting events here recently where there has been, but nothing too crazy, thank goodness. What about you, Drew?
I
could see you being an ump or something. And I could see you throwing somebody out of a game.
I have umped maybe. I didn't home plate umpire, like first base umpired before.
Okay.
And I'm pretty laid back. I haven't had any problems when I've done it. That was a very, very long time ago, though.
I got to say, the only reason that I should not do umpiring is I was terrible at it.
What Drew, go ahead.
Critical.
In terms of the history of me, have I ever seen anybody get tossed? Not for yelling at the officials necessarily, but there was one Pacers game. We were sitting down, a friend and I were sitting down in the lower level. This is when the Pacers stunk, so I could get $30 tickets for row 15. But somebody was cussing out the officials. They wouldn't stop. It was, like, really bad. And eventually this person got ejected or taken by security and removed from the stands. That was an interesting situation where it's like, yeah, that guy probably deserved it. You don't need to be doing all that. The ref never had an interaction with them necessarily, but it was just so bad that people around complained, said, yeah, you need to get this guy out of here. College basketball, I mean, I'm locked in right now. I got in the background.
Yeah, you've got a TV right next to you.
In the background over here, I got Omaha and Murray State on right now.
Oh, gosh.
Also, I got women's basketball and ESPN on the TV. The Wisconsin Badgers play the Campbell Fighting Camels today. I'm locked in because Wisconsin football stinks. Similar to this person on the text line who said Auburn's football season's done. I'm locked into Auburn and Bethune-Cookman today.
I will say the text line's full of examples of this, and then I'll give you one more of mine from the 816 as youth baseball coach. I had to kick parents from their own team out before. 816 probably threw out 10 to 15 coaches or parents in the 5 years I did it. Had a parent chase me and my partner out to our cars with a bat.
That's ridiculous.
Some of you are out of control. My dad got kicked out of my fifth grade basketball game by a seventh grade referee.
I'll say this, grader. Like, look, I don't know the circumstances of that last text, so maybe there's, I guess, a good reason. Typically, I don't think there is.
Y'all gotta let this go.
If you are getting kicked out of your own son or daughter's sporting event, and they are under the age, well, frankly, any age, but under the age of, let's call it 12 in particular,
embarrassing.
You should be extremely embarrassed, and it's pathetic.
Yes. They just kicked me out of the game, as in I had to go to the bench. There's no locker rooms in this. I got kicked out one time by an umpire because I drew a line in the dirt where the ball was.
A literal line in the dirt?
Yeah, a literal line in the dirt. Umpires don't like that, no matter the age.
Yeah, that's...
What? That's where the ball was, Drew. Also,
I understand that time, it's
more acceptable because you're the player. As a player, you kind of expect sometimes you're going to chirp or argue or have something to say. But, like, balls and strikes will get you kicked out of a game pretty quick. But, I mean, it is insane. Who are you people out here causing problems at youth sporting events?
Chase makes people with a bat is to their
that's
car
crazy.
Is insane.
Yeah, from that's out of control.
From the 816, when I played tennis in high school, I got disqualified from a match by my own coach for arguing with my opponent's mom. She was being a total B-word, is how he put it.
Jeez.
Getting tossed out by your own coach, man. That's ice cold.
Wait, so how, hang on a
you
second.
You arguing with your opponent's mom at a tennis match? This is insane.
I'm curious, though. So how were you as the player disqualified when it was the coach? Like, I have the coach removed, and it stinks, but you're just on your own.
Well, the coach didn't do anything. He said the player was arguing with the opponent's mom.
Okay, I got you. He himself was the one. The coach was arguing, and the coach got it. Okay, I got you.
That is the random question of the day. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get right back in to the Chiefs' loss to the Bills, including right before halftime, how Andy Reid and this team handled it. Cody and I differ on what the Chiefs should have done and the impact it would have had maybe on the rest of the game. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. Briefly, though, the World Series was an all-timer, at least Game 7, I would say, was an all-timer on Saturday. The Dodgers are repeat champs. They go back-to-back, first time since the Yankees did it, and on the NL side, first time since the Big Red Machine did it with Cincinnati. It has been a very long time. The Yankees did go win three in a row, so the Dodgers will be chasing that next year. Yamamoto ends up as the MVP. Just
well, the
ridiculous.
Three innings of shutout baseball
after pitching the night before
Game 7. Yeah,
I mean, less than 24 hours later was absolutely insane. That was an all timer though, and I know sometimes you get caught up in the moment. I'm not saying it's the single best baseball game I've watched. That'll be selfishly the AL wild card game here in Kansas
Forever,
City.
Probably.
But a game not involving a team that I care about, and it's Game 7 of the World Series. That's the best one I've seen. Just, I mean, I can't imagine being a Blue Jays fan. You thought you had it. You should have had it. And the Dodgers still find a way to get it done.
That ball hit into the gap where he just steamrolls his own teammate. Just came into the game, came in cold, and
Pajes.
runs.
Kiki Hernandez nearly hit the wall.
Yeah, he bulldozed Kiki Hernandez just to make the catch. I thought that was about to be as loud as like that wild card game when that Hosmer triple hit the gap and everyone two outfielders collided and it felt like we got that moment. Look, I didn't want to make it about the bigger picture stuff today anyway. We can talk about the state of baseball, and there were a lot of people to watch that World Series. 26 million fans watched it. Only 16 million watched Game 7 of the NBA Finals. So baseball still got plenty of people watching, and it was, you know, and the series was just, I thought, punch after punch of like historic performances that finished in an electric Game 7. Every game wasn't close. Game 7 was, and obviously had some huge moments. But yeah, I mean, it's hard. Like, Yamamoto's performance is one you're probably not going to forget. And it had a bunch of other moments in this series that were great.
And Kershaw goes out like that. I was hoping they went another inning or two because I wanted to see Kershaw pitch. He was warming up. He legitimately was about to get in the game. That's the only way it would have been cooler. He still gets to go out on top and everything like that. And obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer when the time comes. But that, I was like, are we really going to see Kershaw pitch?
That would have been, imagine if it went down bad.
Well, that's
his last outing and the, you know, like he didn't get the out. Look, congrats to the Dodgers. I still think the sport has major issues, but well, you know what sport doesn't have problems, I guess. Baseballs are just about balance and equality amongst teams. And I still like, you know, what's funny is it even more than a salary cap gold, which is not something that I think is even obtainable in baseball. I would just take a TV deal under one umbrella because I think that alone would put a significant balance back into the sport. Not solve all the problems and all the imbalance in the sport, but I definitely think it helps some. Our whole problem is the same. There are always going to be teams who don't spend money. There's always going to be teams who spend money like the Dodgers and Blue Jays, unless you have a cap and a floor. And one side wants a cap, one side wants a floor, and neither wants the other. Hope we don't get a lockout in a year because it was a fun baseball season. Also, I'd like the Royals back in the playoffs. If that's
That would be nice. Offseason is underway. Guys are not getting their options extended.
Oh, yeah, so Bellinger
picked
already's...
up, and we'll have some time over the next
couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks. Winter meetings later on this month, early December, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's winter meetings. I think the GM meetings, maybe something's coming up here in November too.
Okay. All right, up next, let's get back to the Chiefs' loss to Buffalo and some of the decision-making before halftime and a loophole that I think has to be closed, even if it's not why the Chiefs lost.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.